heart at Hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside. All right, well, good morning again. I know it's a few days after, but Merry Christmas nonetheless. How many of you are well rested? Okay, all right. So how many of you are unsure? All right, no. I hope that you had a great time with your family. I know, as I even mentioned earlier in the ministry moment, I know, you know, holidays seem to magnify things in our life. And I know that Christmas isn't always easy for people, but we have, as a church, we've been praying for you. We hope that it was a good season where obviously spiritually we remember the coming of our Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord. But also it's a great time, usually, right, for family and friends. And so we just are rejoicing with you. I hope it's been a great season. Got lots of good gifts. Let me just see a quick poll. How many of y'all got what you asked Santa for? Did anybody? All right. How many of you know you're behaving like the Grinch because you didn't get what you asked for and you needed a moment to elbow your spouse, like you've been waiting for that? Okay, now's that moment. No. Had a great time, and really got just a great experience. We have our 9-year-old and our 5-year-old daughter, and they slept in this year. I think we were up at 6:15, so we were grateful. Got a little more rest than anticipated, and got so many just great presents. And my in-laws, they just pulled off something magnificent. They gave our daughters a Switch. All right, Nintendo Switch, and Kelly and I did not realize what a blessing it would be to us personally as well, because there's a twofold blessing. So during the day, now Kelly and I can have conversation. Amen, parents, grateful for the screens. All right, we'll strike this off of the recording. But number two, the Switch is pretty fun, right? It's kind of an opportunity for us that aren't gamers to become gamers for a season, all right? Some of you on your PS4s or 5s or Xboxes, you know gaming. I am gaming illiterate. I know, like, Mario Kart, and it's amazing. So, in fact, I've been staying up a little late, so I won't get drowsy in this message, I promise. I've had my coffee, but it's amazing. With the Switch, Kelly and I have gone, you know, at least for me, going to sleep at about 9 to now 11. It's added 2 extra hours of daytime, so... All right. Well, today I do have a message. You know, there are moments I appreciate being able to preach, and that is every Sunday, by the way. But specific to this Sunday, keeping in mind it is the last Sunday of 2020. It's the last Sunday of a significant year, not only for perhaps us personally or individually, but obviously corporately as a church, but as a state, as a nation, as a globe, 2020 saw some difficulties and some hardships and some disappointments. And positioning ourselves here with the last Sunday, knowing that in a few days we begin to take ground in 2021 personally, I wanted to equip you today with a message. And the message has to do with your future. It may speak to your present circumstances, but it certainly has to do with your future. And we're going to spend a moment in a portion of a pretty dramatic story that happened in the life of Israel. Israel was a people that God had set apart. And I want you, as we look at the verses of Israel, as we read the story of Israel, if nobody's ever given you this permission, let me give you this permission. When you see the journey of Israel, find yourself looking in a mirror, because so often the decisions Israel made, the difficulties Israel faced, you and I may be doing the same thing. And we can learn from their story. We can grow from their journey. How many of you know sometimes it's better to learn from other people's mistakes than to find out ourselves? And I'm going to be looking at a significant moment. This is a almost moment for Israel. God had brought them out of Egypt. In Egypt, there was no Sabbath. In Egypt, there was no rest. In Egypt, there was no break. And yet, as a people, they grew. God blessed them even when they were in a foreign land. But God delivered them through the hand of Moses. You're familiar with Moses. Moses, though he should have been executed, he was saved and brought into Pharaoh's own home, raised by his daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses' own family. It's just the unexpected extravagance and goodness of God's plan for our lives. And we see in Moses, he's raised up, and here's his call. He was to be the forerunner. He was to be the one who would lead and deliver Israel from Egypt into the promised land. The problem is, between Egypt and the promised land, there's a big old wilderness. Israel would make what was to be an 11-day journey. It would turn out to be 40 years. Why? Because of this story right here. There's a distance between where you are right now and the future that God has in store for you. There's a gap between receiving a promise and stepping into the promise. So often in our lives, we think the most pivotal moments are receiving the promise. So often we think the most pivotal moment is actually stepping into the promise, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The most pivotal moments in our lives are those moments between where we are and where we're headed. It's what we're doing in the wilderness season. There's this remarkable story that we're going to look at in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. It begins quite simple and straightforward. We can bring up verses 1 and 2. Here it is. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." Israel was marked, and in many ways, they didn't have a census bureau. They had a 12-tribe bureau. All right? So the 12 tribes of Israel, there was one spy from each tribe. They're set out to explore this land. It's a smart move. Well, what's God doing? God is inviting them to get a picture of the area of Canaan, which here it is. He was giving them. It's a promise. Here it is. But God knows he's not leading robots. He gives us a free will. We can freely deny or we can freely choose. So the spies go out. They explore the land. It is incredible. It is beautiful. It is, as scripture would declare, a land flowing with milk and honey. It had everything they could possibly want, everything they could possibly need. It represented when there was a stimulus check, it went out. There's no delays. No bickering. It was just that good. When they needed money, it was push a button. No, I'm kidding. But it was everything that they could possibly dream of, removing themselves from a land of slavery, heading into a promised land. The 12 spies went out. They saw that it was everything God had detailed it would be. It made sense in their mind. Something lifted in their spirit. They were anticipating, this is it, guys. And they come back and they give the report to the people of Israel. Beginning in verse 26 of Numbers 13, here is how it plays out. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly, showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We continue, first four verses, of Numbers 14. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. We live life, whether we like it or not, through the filter of faith or fear. When it comes to our future, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we even consider ourselves spiritual or not, one thing is true. When it comes to your future, you are living life through the filter of faith or the filter of fear. Many times you were handed a global perspective. Many times you were given a worldview. I know you think you're independent. I know you think you have all the answers. But oftentimes we have been discipled and taught by our parents, by our family members, by the ways and the wills of this world. And we've almost been trained, so to speak, on how to view our future. And so when it comes time between where we are and where God may be leading us, the wilderness season, there's an invisible filter of what we see when we see our promised land. Many times, we can take the bait of fear. When God is calling for us, the ground you desire is only taken by faith. We so often want things easy in the spiritual realm. We so often want our future to be handed to us. Listen, I want that too. Trouble is, it doesn't work that way. God invites us through faith to trust him for our future. And here's the problem. We interpret the intel we've been given about our promised land. And it has a dramatic effect on the course and action we take for our future. The intel can come in any arena of life. It could be as a young adult, the future we envision, the college we want to attend, the business school we want to go to. It could be anything of the sort. And here's what happens. With that good future, with that promised land in sight, we make a decision based on how we interpret the intel, the intelligence that's given to us. And we have to understand that as spiritual beings, we are nudged, directed, led into an abundant life that God has given us. But it requires us to interpret the intel correctly, according to God's word. 12 spies, 10 came back negative. They all saw the same exact thing. They all saw grapes that were the size of human heads, so to speak. They all saw tons of land, open pastures, resources beyond their comprehension. What was the word of God over them? I'm giving this to you. They could not comprehend it. The 10 saw nothing but negative, saw nothing but why it can't happen, saw nothing but there is no future for us here. Let us not remain in the wilderness, which was ahead, But let's go back to the life we lived in Egypt. It's why we see young people in their Christian faith make decisions that some people more mature in their faith are like, what are you doing? You did what? You're thinking what? It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because it's the same cycle you had in Egypt. And God's saying, no, I'm bringing you out of Egypt. Don't go back, move forward. But it's scary. It's intimidating. It's difficult. So what? God is on your side. We always have an advantage. Last time I checked, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, plus me, the odds are in my favor. And God calls for us to look through the lens of faith, not to live and look through the lens of fear. Get a picture with me. The story is quite simple, but let me just slow it down. Israel is a picture of the children of God. It's you and me. We are the picture. Israel is our story. You and I, we've been invited into this journey, our history. We could tell our kids. Why do we tell our kids this story? Because it's our story. It's the human race. It's God setting aside a people. So here we are, 2,000, well, from this passage, some, who knows, 1,000 years on from the story, but it resonates with us. We are God's chosen son. You are God's chosen daughter. You are his beloved. Egypt represents the land of slavery. It represents our old nature and an old way of living. It has a mindset. It has a fear trigger everywhere it goes. It interprets life through the pressures, through the lens of insecurities. It doesn't live through the lens of beloved. Egypt represents exhaustion, the sweat of your brow. You get nothing in return. It represents the land before we knew God. Canaan is the promised land. It's the God-given territory. It's future filled with abundance, land flowing with milk and honey. And the intel is the information given by the spies. And we are left to interpret the intel that is given before us. My prayer is that we will be a people that interpret the intel with faith and not fear. You're here today because you're a person of faith. Many of you, what 2020 threw at you, and the difficulties and disappointments and areas you've had to navigate. Some of you are still in the fire. You're still being tested. My encouragement to you is don't buy the reports of the spies. Listen to Joshua. Listen to Caleb. You can take the land. You can enter the promises of God. He has a future. He has a hope. And we're not just sitting by like God's up in the sky, he spun it, and now he couldn't care less. Like he's kicking back, you know? Just relax. No, God is involved, and he's always inviting us forward. He's always inviting us upward. He takes disappointments, and he strengthens our resolve. He encourages our faith, but he leaves the information up to us to interpret. There was a song way back. I used to grow up. I'm not going to do the dance moves to it. It's pretty simple. But it was a worship song, like a praise and worship song. Some of y'all came to faith after the 80s and 90s. I'm sorry. Y'all missed such good church music. Kelly and I will play it for fun every once in a while. But there was a song that said, whose report will you believe? Worship used to be way more interactive. Y'all, we got it good. Let me just say that. But like... if you were a new believer or you were bringing like your girlfriend, or, you know, ladies, your boyfriend to church, you don't know what's going to happen. And they're going to be put on the spot. They're like, I don't even believe in God, but I'm having to say these words. They're like, whose report will you believe? And then everybody's like, we will believe the report of the... Yeah, some of y'all know that. Okay. Some of y'all, you missed out. Spotify's available, okay? But the premise, here's what it is. The premise of the song. Whose report will you believe? I'm in slavery. You got a report of the promised land. Whose report? Well, I believe. Well, in the wilderness is when we have the opportunity to investigate the information that's before us. There are some promises God has spoken over your life, and here it is. The reason you're not entering in them is because you're interpreting the intel wrong. And don't, this happens in the wilderness, do not start blaming other people for the reason you're not in the promised land. That's a tactic of the enemy. Because again, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, there's more in your corner than those that are against you. God wants to lead us forward. I wrote down, the 10 spies brought back fear. They were doing wrong. They were not speaking on behalf of God. They were speaking on behalf of their frailty, of their weaknesses. And when the spies are wrong, dreams wither away. When the spies are wrong, our hope fades fast. When the spies get it wrong, faith is quenched and your vision perishes. When the spies are wrong, you settle in the wilderness. When the spies are wrong, 11 days is transformed into 40 years. When the spies get it wrong, your future is hindered. It's why it's so important that we lean in and prayerfully consider the voices around us and those in our lives, because here's what can happen. When the spies get it right, dreams come alive. When the spies are right, hope forms a fountain of life inside. When the spies are right, faith is fired up and your vision enlarges. When the spies are right, you enter the promised land and God's promises in your life begin to unfold. You see, we live in a quote unquote, I know politically you want to push back or whatever, but in many ways, a Christian nation, a Christian themed nation. But in case you haven't realized, not all Christians are the same. It's not that one's better or worse. Don't misread me. It's not like we walk in with a weighted scale and figuring things out. But many people have settled for a saving faith. That's where their relationship with God stops. Are they saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt. But here's what they've done. They've in their mind bought in, understood, and come alive to who Jesus was and to what Scripture says. But they settled with that. As a church, we want to challenge you to move beyond just the saving faith into what's called a sanctifying faith. It's where the Holy Spirit perpetually is working in and through your life. You begin to understand that God doesn't dichotomize or divvy up our life like, okay, here's church Paul. Let's take care of church Paul. But hey, Paul, do what you want in your finances. Do what you want in your relationships. Do what you want in your marriage. Do what you want with your kids. No. That's not who God has called for us to be. God has called for us to be in step with his Spirit. And so church Paul, or child of God Paul, begins to infiltrate my finances, begins to infiltrate my marriage, begins to infiltrate as a parent, begins to infiltrate my friendships. And here's what happens. Promises start popping up. Life starts popping up. Medical reports don't hold the weight that they held years ago, because now I can interpret the intel in lieu of what the Word of God says over my situation. And no longer do I live as a victim. Oh, what should we do? Let's go back to Egypt. It's easier. No, now I can live in lieu of the goodness, the promises, and the hope of God and understand I'm moving forward by faith. I'm going to trust Joshua and Caleb. So what to do when the spies are wrong. Very simple for you. Number one, stop listening. Just stop listening. Those online, that's not for the message. Don't push pause. But here's what I say. Stop listening. There are lines that must be drawn in our walk, not only with God, but with others, where we just, sometimes, we just have to stop listening. Our minds are so fragile, and here's the thing, they are so powerful. Do you know, in your mind, science has discovered that negative thoughts take up way more space than positive thoughts. So we're already against it, so to speak. And so we have to, if you will, push forward almost, not twice, but 10 times as hard to trust what God's saying, to lean into his word, to begin to reform our mind and our heart and our way of living according to his pattern. And first step is stop listening. Stop listening. Numbers 13, verse 32, notice what happens. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. You and I, we're responsible for what we're listening to, what we're meditating on, what we're reading, what we're praying, what we're thinking about. And here it is, the report that we are believing. We're a church that believes God does and will do miracles in your life. We are a church that at the end of service, we're not just, you know, doing what we're supposed to do by having a prayer team available. No, our prayer team will charge heaven with you and ask God to do great things. You know, we live in a culture that wants things now, wants things shortcut, right? People want what a marriage gives, but they want it in a dating relationship. People want what, you know, an amazing, difficult job can be, but they just want it handed to them. It's not done that way. As we live and walk according to the word of God, we do things his way, and that's by faith. And at the end of service, we've got a prayer team available. Why do we have a prayer team available? Because you need people to lift your arms. You need people to charge heaven with you. And for some of you, this is really all you have. Home is not where you are right now getting what you need. But can I tell you, when the word of God comes alive, it strengthens your resolve. And here's what it does. You just find a way. You make the effort to stop listening to the other spies. There are sometimes you got to take somebody off your favorite list. You say, bloop. There are. I want to tell you, I want to give you. Those online, I want to give you permission. Facebook has made it amazing these days. You can snooze somebody for 30 days. It's amazing. Somebody's going through a funk, man, text them, call them, pray with them. Doesn't mean you have to follow them on Facebook. You just bloop, unfollow for 30 days. Because there's just some noise you don't need. There's just some people, their words are nothing but bleh, bleh. And here you're just like, yeah, I'm going to enter the promised land. You know, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. I'm going to keep getting on Facebook. You're like, why am I so negative? Why is it? Because you're following the 10, and you need to be listening to just the 2. There's some friends, you are ministering to them. You are an instrument of hope. Doesn't mean you have to listen to them to lead you into your future. Sometimes the healthiest thing we can do is stop listening. Listen to what Psalm 143 verse 12 says. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. That's such a beautiful picture of what God does in our life. He calls us to step into how much, to dare to believe how significant we are in the kingdom, to dare to believe that we have a purpose, we have a future, we have a plan, and to dare to believe that we are called the beloved of God. And notice what takes place He just silences our enemies. Sometimes we let people have too much authority in our life. Sometimes we allow voices from the outside too much room to speak over. There are people, I mean this well, they're just people, I'm not asking for advice. Why aren't you asking them advice? I look at the fruit of their lives. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean I don't care about them. Doesn't mean I wouldn't take a bullet for them. Well, I don't know about that, but no, I'm kidding. But it doesn't mean I don't care. But I need to encourage you. You've got to be so careful with your ears and with your eyes, what you let listening, what you watch. Here's what I'm saying. Why am I saying that? Just because it's bad? No, I'm saying because what it does is it can drag your faith down. It may mean you fast the news for 21 days. It may mean you fast social media for 21 days. Listen, here's another thing, okay, because not that I've experienced this, but other pastors have. Because I've encouraged you to stop listening, don't go home and tell your spouse you're stopped listening. Yeah, like, don't go home. Tell them they bring you down. Don't go home. You know, don't go into work and tell your boss, listen, so like my pastor's challenging me. I just don't need any negativity, okay? Don't be, you know, no. You control you and just be wise. We are having fun. It's so simple, but I'm going to tell you, there's many believers who aren't stepping into all that God has for them. They're blaming God. It's not God's fault. It's their own fault. I look at some of the most difficult seasons of my life. Y'all, I had like some of the most difficult seasons. I remember like, I'm seeking God, but I'd play like a Hillsong song. I'd just be like crying and like wailing. Like, oh, this is terrible. You know, God, do something. And I realized, oh, you've called me to be a warrior. You've called me to be a man of faith. Oh, you've called me to dig out, take the time, get off social media and get into the promises of God and discover your truth over my life. It's on. And then you get growing and you get growing and you get growing and people think you crazy, but you're like, man, that's of the devil. I'm going to shut that down. That's of the evil one. I'm going to shut that down. The blood of Jesus covers my past. I know what you see, but this is what God sees. So you can take that. Wacha! In my faith, I'm growing. I'm getting stronger. That's what God calls for you. You're here today because you did not interpret 2020 like the news station, which I'm leaving behind, told you to interpret it. They keep everything terrible in front of you. Some of them barely even recognize that a vaccine was made in record time. It's ridiculous what scientists are pulling off in this, not only this country, in the globe. It's ridiculous, some of the good things that have happened by people, but it's like, ooh, speak with fear. No, you've got to silence the whisper of the enemy over your life. You got to stop listening. Second, rehearse. We're not just rehearsing anything. We are rehearsing what God said through his scripture and through his spirit. Rehearse what God said. Know his word inside out. We're going through the Bible, the whole thing. Yes, some of you are like, you can do that? You can do that. We're going through the whole Bible in 2021. Get the app, Bible in 1 Year. It's simple. It lays it out for you. And you can even listen to it. You don't have to just read it. It's a free app. Why are we doing that? Because I noticed this year, man, I want people knowing what God's word says about their life, about their relationships, about their friendships, about their family. I don't want them just grabbing a one-liner from me. That's fine. I want them understanding how Jesus handled his enemies, how Jesus handled sickness, how Jesus handled demonic oppression, how Jesus handled people with sin cycles and things like that. How did God do it? God did it through his love, through his mercy, through faith and the power that is in the name of Jesus. So you rehearse what God said. Hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit. I was looking because I like to be up front. I like to be honest. From the platform, some of you, you're welcome, okay? No, I'm kidding you. I know it's expected, but I got on my notes. You're familiar with the Notes app? I got on my notes, and just from June, I have like 7 different notes some of them very long, and here's all they are. They're verses of God's favor. They're verses about God's healing. They're verses about God's provision. They're verses about God's promises, his word of life, his words of truth. They're verses about salvation, how the lost will see, how difficult circumstances, I don't see a way through, but God can break in and break out. There's a side to our spiritual maturity that's called waiting well. When you're in the wilderness, it just feels like a long waiting season. You have two choices. You can wait poorly, or you can wait well. I've found that even though I don't always see it, declaring the promises of God over my life through Scripture is a form of me waiting well. It's a form of me exercising my faith, moving in the right direction. We have hillsidechurch.us/declarations. Why do we have that? We have that set up for you. It's also set up for me to begin to declare over my life. It sounds funny. You may think it's all self-help, positive talk. No, it's a spiritual discipline. Because y'all didn't know it, but science has shown me there are 30,000 decisions I'm making today. That's crazy. Most of them I don't even think about. But you know, self-talk, it's a way that we interpret the intel over our future as well. Many times when we get up and we see ourselves, we see the lack. We see the negative. We see the difficulties. But I found that declaring God's truth over my life, I begin to see the future in a different light. That one favor connection can change everything. One call can move a church plant from portable to having a permanent space. One check can move a campaign that was dwindling to far above and beyond. One work connection can move you from a wilderness season in your job to a promised land where you walk in every day fulfilled, happy, joy-filled. One word out of your mouth can change a coworker's eternity forever. It just takes a subtle pivot, but it takes us being in the right mindset, in the right frame of mind. We've got some members of our church who, a couple years ago, they were not in a difficult place. They were doing well, but they had helped in some foster care systems and just were above and beyond. But at that time, in that season, they could not have family. They could not have kids. But they just stayed the course, man, praying, faithful. And what did they begin to do? They began to rehearse the promises of God, began to rehearse the truths of God, began to speak to their future. Can you imagine? And some of you know the difficulty of that season, the difficulty of that circumstances. Well, in 2020, God brought into their life 3 adopted children and then one of their own. How did that happen? It happened because they were given information. They interpreted their intel not in fear, but in faith. And I want to encourage you, some seasons, it doesn't always work out in every area of our life. It doesn't. There's some people it didn't just happen. But can I tell you, there are arenas of your life that the enemy is hoping you don't even dream about, you don't even think about, you don't ever pray about. He's hoping you just accept life as it is and just say, you know, I'm saved. It's great. And that is great. It's the greatest miracle of all. But there's a promised land ahead of you if you will take it. So I've encouraged you today, stop listening, rehearse God's word. And third is this, find yo people. Find your people. So deep, so spiritual, so intense. Find your people. Find your people. Sometimes we have people here and they're kind of reluctant. They're like, we're church shopping. We hate to say it, we're church shopping. Hey, I'm like, you get your church shop on. Because when you find your people, you will move forward into your promised land. And you can dwindle for decades with the wrong people. You just can. I hate to say it. I'm not saying we everybody's cup of tea. I know the preaching is, but I'm not just saying. No, I'm telling you. I'm just saying. I know it ain't my fault. You know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just kidding. My wife's not in the room, so I can say that, right? But I tell you this. I do want to say this. It's so important to find your people. This may sound, this is going to be a poor example and lost on some. I'm not really into this. Nobody email me or text me. I'm not that big into Lord of the Rings, okay? I know sometimes you bring up Lord of the Rings and man, people you did not know come out of the woodwork like, you into it? I'm not. I love the movies. But there is a show, forgive me. Now, if you are a Lord of the Rings fan, just forgive me for butchering a few things. But there is a king who's a mighty warrior, whose land, he was the horse's king. Anybody remember that? Yep, nobody else. I'm looking for the name. Okay. Nobody wants to help me out. Great. Okay, you online, sorry about that. Put it in the comment section. However, the king had everything moving forward. The kingdom was moving in a good direction. But he had an associate that sat next to him. It's so well portrayed in the movies as well as in the books written by Tolkien. But it was called Wormwood. Something, yeah. And just look it up. But he would just whisper lies, negative, time and time again of why it would not work out. Why you just need to pass this kingdom off, how you're weak, how you're losing your mind. And it's such a spiritual perspective because the people that are carrying, you know, the whole theme, I'm not going to say it so I don't butcher it, but the people, the main characters of the story, they come and they visit this king and they throw open the doors of his hall and this little deceiver shrinks and scours back. And the king, you see this flush of this, like this, just this flush, kind of the coloring changes. All of a sudden, his gray hair becomes gold. Yeah, just fermenting it. It's amazing. And it's like his strength comes again. That's a picture when you find your people. I mean that spiritually speaking. We have people now, part of our church, they're here for such a time as this because of where God is calling us, where God is leading us, and what God has called for us to do in our community. We didn't plant to be another church. We planted to be ridiculously life-giving. We planted with a prayer and a hope that people would experience the true nature of who God is. It's not a distinguishing factor. We just want to be known as a people of faith. That when you're sick, we're not going to just be like, well, that stinks. You know, maybe God's trying to teach you something in your sickness. Maybe not. Maybe we got that from a few centuries ago. Maybe before that, people realized that sickness isn't your portion. And that God still heals. There's power in the name of Jesus. Maybe your job stinks right now and everything's difficult. I understand. But maybe God also has positioned you and is working some things out for your good, even in the midst of it. God doesn't waste anything. There's a lot of mystery involved in that as well. But when you find your people, all of a sudden, your 10 spies are shifted away and the 2 spies lead you from where you are into your promised land. It's incredible. We just are relentlessly of this truth, that God has good days ahead for you. That it isn't always easy. There's definitely disappointments. There's definitely heartache. But God sets you in a spiritual family to hold up your arms, to help carry you through from Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promises of God. It's so important that we find our people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Everybody uses this as a marriage scripture. It definitely applies. But it's not only a marriage scripture. Paul is actually writing it as a worship scripture. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Here it is. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Come on, did anybody else grow up with that, with your parents telling you that? Every youth group meeting, it was like, "Paul, what you doing? Who you dating?" They know you, you know. That's important. It definitely is important. But even more than that, it's a nudge for us to find your people, to shake off the whispers of those who would decrease your faith, to shake off the whispers that say, "Man, it's just going whatever, whatever, it's just going to happen, you just blah, 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 blah," to shake that off, and to find your people who will lift up your arms, to strengthen you, to nudge you. You know, I don't know exactly the answer about your circumstance, but I know you're the beloved of God, that if you meet with him, he will whisper a truth to your soul. I know that about God. You got to find people leading you in that way. Okay, we're done.